We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together, Lord. We thank you, dear God, that you're building relationships here, dear God. You're helping us to get to know one another. And Father God, right now, we want to take some time to get to know you more. We're going to dig and search your scriptures to find out what you have to say concerning things that we can do so we can become better. Father God, we open up our hearts. We open up our ears to receive what you have to say. And Father, I yield myself as a vessel to be used. Our hearts are open, Father. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Are you hungry for the word?
Yes.
Amen. I tell you, God's word is good. His word is good. 1 Peter 5:8. And it reads, I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm also going to read it in the Amplified. 1 Peter 5:8, and it reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And then in the Amplified version, 1 Peter 5:8 reads, "Be well balanced, temperate, sober-minded, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour." This passage here describes the devil as a lion. All right? He's a lion. And it says that he's not just any old lion. It goes on to describe what type of lion. He's hungry. And how many of you know that when lions are hungry, I mean, they're focused. When a lion is hungry, that lion is going to go roaming around trying to find something to satisfy that appetite that he has. And it's funny that they will use this analogy to describe the devil. Just like that lion that is hungry is roaming around seeking whom he can devour because he has a certain appetite and he wants to satisfy that appetite. How many of you know that the devil has a certain appetite? And guess what he wants? He wants you. He wants you. So this passage describes the devil as a lion. It says that he is a fierce lion and he is hungry and he's looking for someone to devour. That there tells me when it says someone that there's some people that he can't devour. There's some people that he can't devour. We need to realize that the devil is seeking someone to devour. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be amongst the someones that he can devour. Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31, and in this passage we have Jesus speaking. Luke 22:31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Like I said, the devil desires to have you. I mean, you can apply that to us today. Jesus can say that to you right now. Helen, Helen, or whatever your name is. Diane, Diane, Shay, Shay, Lakey, Lakey, Ruth, Ruth, whatever your name is, you can put it in there. Behold, Satan hath desire to have you. He desires to have you. And he doesn't want just a piece of you. He wants all of you. All right? And he will use any circumstance. He will use any situation. He will use any individual. You know what I'm saying? To pull you down. To pull you down. To wreak havoc in your life. He'll use loved ones.
Yes.
He'll use your kids. He'll use the dog. He'll use anything. He knows what makes you tick and what will get you upset at the moment. All right? So it doesn't matter. He'll use traffic. He'll use, you know, the supermarket, you know, that long line at the supermarket, anything, all right? And what he's trying to do is he's trying to wreak havoc in your life for the purpose of pulling you down. And I thought it was pretty interesting in this passage where Jesus talks about that he might sift you as wheat. Sift you as wheat. You know, when they're sifting wheat, they got to shake it. They got to agitate it. And you know, that's what the devil attempts to do with our lives. I mean, he uses those circumstances. He uses those situations. He uses those people to agitate you, to shake you up. Why? Because he wants to pull you down. He wants to wreak havoc in your life. He wants to devour you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The title of today's message is Be Not Devoured. Be not devoured. Be not devoured. All right? We're going to look at the scriptures and we're going to see what God's word has to say as to what we can do so that we won't be shaken up, so we won't be agitated, so that the devil will not be able to devour us. All right? Turn to Proverbs 3 and we're going to read verses 5 through 6. We're going to just talk about some keys to not being devoured. The first thing I want to address is be vigilant and cautious. All right? I got that from the Amplified Version in 1 Peter 5, 8. It said to be vigilant and cautious at all times. All right? If we do not want to be devoured, then we need to be vigilant. The word vigilant means keenly watchful. Keenly watchful. To detect danger or trouble. All right. We read in 1 Peter and it said that the devil is like a lion, that he's out there roaming, seeking whom he can devour. So if we don't want to be devoured, then we need to be on guard. All right. We need to be watching, looking. All right. So the word vigilant means keenly watchful to detect danger or trouble. The word cautious means using alertness. How many of you know that the devil is trouble? He's trouble. There's nothing good about him. All right? There's nothing good about him. He wants to rob us of the blessings of God. He wants to deprive us of life. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about just living, period, meaning, you know, just to kill you. Yeah, you know, he wants to do that. But he wants us to not be able to have life the way God desires us to have life. God's word says that he wants us to have abundant life. All right? He wants us to have life that is filled with joy, peace. I mean, there's a lot of good things on this earth that God has created for us to enjoy. All right? But see, the devil would rather you live in misery. He wants you to live in misery. So he's trying to do whatever he can to deprive you of life. He wants to destroy your life. Once again, by wreaking havoc in your life. Stirring up trouble. That's what his name is, trouble. Since we know he's seeking individuals to devour, we need to be vigilant. We need to be on guard. We need to be watching out for things that he may be doing. We need to be ever awake. We need to be alert. We can't let our guard down, because when you let your guard down, you give him an opportunity to step in. You give him an opportunity to act, to mess up your life, all right? Well, how do we remain vigilant? How do we remain cautious? Because notice in 1 Peter 5:8 in the Amplified Version, it says that you're to do this at all times. At all times. That's where Proverbs 3:5-6 comes in. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we're going to keep from being devoured by the devil, we need the wisdom of God to order our steps. We need the wisdom of God to order our steps, to show us the way that we should go. You see, I can't rely on my own insight to keep me safe. I can't rely on my own insight because, see, I'm still flesh. All right? I don't know all things. But the Bible says that God is all-knowing. He's the God of wisdom. So I can't rely just on myself to determine which way I should go. I need to look for wisdom. Proverbs 1:33. Proverbs 1:33. Proverbs 1:33 says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me, wisdom, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." To hearken, that word hearken, I looked it up, it means that you hear and do. You hear and you do. You hear and you do what God says. All right? The wisdom of God will keep us safe if we hearken. It's not going to do any good just to listen. You got to do what it says. And that's why so many of us run into problems, because we're not doing what the Word of God says. We've heard it. We've been going to a Word of Faith church for a long time. We've heard a lot of good messages. We may have even taken some good notes. You know what I'm saying? But it's not going to do you any good if you're not doing what the Word says. You got to hearken. So you got to hear it, and you have to do it. When we do not hearken unto the Word of God, we let our guard down. We let our guard down, and we give the enemy place to wreak havoc in our lives. So we need to take this word, we need to listen to what God says, and then we need to do it. That's where wisdom comes in. You're applying that knowledge that you've heard, that knowledge that you've been taught, into your own life. And the Bible says here in Proverbs 1:33 that if you do this, if you hearken, then you're going to dwell safely. Safely. So we can be vigilant. We can be cautious at all times, but that's going to require that we're being in tune to what wisdom has to say. Because wisdom will speak to us. Amen? Amen. Wisdom cries. Wisdom cries out, but are we listening to what wisdom has to say? So if you don't want to be devoured, the first thing you need to do is you need to be vigilant. You need to be cautious. You need to be alert. You need to listen to what God's word has to say, and then you need to do what his word says. The next thing that we need to do is we need to be temperate and sober-minded. Temperate and sober-minded. This is something that a lot of us don't like. Romans 8. The temperate part. But you know what? When I looked up the definition for sober-minded, if you like sober-minded better, then that's good, Shay. And you'll see in a few moments. The word temperate means having self-control. Having self-control. Well, if you're like Shane, you say, I don't like that one. I'd rather be sober-minded. That's good. When I looked up sober-minded, it said that it means that your mindset is habitually temperate. So that's even better. Because temperate, you know, you could be temperate one day, and then the next day you're not temperate. But if you're sober-minded, then that means that it's habitually. That's how you are all the time. So that's a good one, right, Shay? In other words, what these words are saying is that you have self-control. Self-control is your way of life. Self-control is your way of life. Now, how many of you know that you cannot control yourself all by yourself? How many of you? How many of you have tried to do that? All right? Yeah? You know, I'm not going to do this. And then you do, and you're like, man, you know, I said I wasn't going to do it. Why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do? You know? The only way you can control yourself, and when we talk about that, we're talking about keeping the flesh under. All right? Keeping the flesh under is by allowing the spirit of wisdom to lead you. All right? You have to allow that spirit of wisdom to lead you. If you do not want to be devoured, then you must allow the spirit to lead you, not the flesh. If you're being led by the flesh, you better watch out, because you're headed down the wrong path. And if you haven't noticed any problems with being led by the flesh thus far, you keep on that path. You keep on that path, all right? Romans 8. And I'm going to read that also in the Amplified. I really like the Amplified version, because it just seems like sometimes it just helps make it real clear, so you do not misunderstand what is being said. You get a clear picture. Romans 8, 5 through 8. And it reads, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded," and when they talk about carnally minded, they're talking about the minding of the flesh. The minding of the flesh is what? Death. That doesn't sound like a good thing, does it? No. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Because the carnal mind, those that mind the flesh, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. Then in the Amplified Version, Romans 8, 5 through 8, it reads, "For those who are according..." Now listen to this, because this version just really helps bring out some good stuff about this passage. "For those who are according to the flesh and controlled by its unholy desires." See, someone that's being led by the flesh, you're being controlled by unholy desires. That means it's not godly. All right? "Set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, without the Holy Spirit," notice it says without the Holy Spirit, "is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh, which is carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God, or be acceptable to Him." I mean, how much plainer can you make it? So you can clearly see from both of those passages that yielding to the flesh, it's not a good thing. It is not a good thing. Yielding to the flesh will cause you to transgress God's law, to go against what His word says. All right? Because see, you're not being controlled by holy desires. You're not yielding to what God's word has to say. The flesh thinks about me, what I want, whether it be good or bad. That's what the flesh wants. All right? So when you yield to the flesh, this will cause you to transgress God's law. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The Amplified Bible, when I read it from there, did you notice that it said, when it was talking about death, it said death that comprises all the miseries. Miseries arising from sin. Not just talking about the hereafter. It said here, meaning right now, on this earth. There's some people that are living in misery. Their life is miserable. And the reason it's miserable is because they're not being led by the Spirit. They're walking after the flesh. They're satisfying their flesh. They have no control over themselves. They're not temperate. They're not sober-minded. They have no self-control. Whatever self wants, self gets. And the devil uses that to devour people, to wreak havoc in their life. Walking after the flesh will cause you to live in misery. You won't have peace. You won't have joy. Because that's not an end result of walking in the flesh. That's an end result. Joy and peace is an end result of walking in the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit, all right? And if you want that result, if you want that type of fruit, then you need to make sure that you're doing what God's word has to say in order to get that benefit. When you walk after the flesh, you're being controlled by those unholy desires. Unholy, not holy desires. And see, Satan, he doesn't want us to walk in the Spirit. He doesn't want us to be led by the Spirit. That's why he'll try and put up these little roadblocks. You can't go to church. And, you know, if you have kids, it seems like just when you're getting ready to leave the house, you know, that's when something will happen with the children. Or you might have just such a hectic day. Look, we ain't going nowhere. Everyone is going to bed. We're just staying at home. But see, the devil wants that. And see, when you're having those moments, when it seems like everything has happened on the job and you had the worst day on the job and you don't feel like going to church, that's when you need to go to church. Yeah. Because God has a special word for you. Yeah. And the devil doesn't want you to get that. Because see, the devil knows that the more words you get, the stronger you're going to be. The more of a threat you're going to be. So he doesn't want you to get full of the word. So it's those days when you don't want to go, that's when you need to go. You know what I'm saying? So we need to have self-control. We need to be able to control ourselves. You know, just making confessions, that's not going to do it. You know, because like in Malachi, it talks about how like if you give your tithe, that God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And there's so many Christians. How many of you know there's some Christians that are out there, you know, just confessing that scripture, rebuking the devourer, rebuking the devourer. And you know what? What their problem is, yeah, no, they may be tithing, but they have no self-control concerning their money. It's not the devourer that's eating up their money. You see what I'm saying? It's not the devourer. I mean, you can rebuke the devourer all you want, but if you have no self-control over your money, it's not going to be there. You know what I'm saying? You know, we joke about casting out the calories out of the food. But see, I can cast out the calories until I'm blue in the face. If I'm going to sit out there and eat nothing but junk food, then you're going to see a whole lot of Helen.
You know what I'm saying? There's only so much calories that my body needs, all right? And once you meet that quota, then you're not going to use it. It's going to stay there. You'll see a little here, a little here, a little here. But it seems like on us ladies, it just likes to stay right here, right? It would be different if we could, you know, move it into certain spaces, right? You know? If you know what I mean, Sammy knows what I mean. But see, it doesn't work that way. So we got to have some self-control, right? Can't be believing God to be healthy, and yet I'm not having self-control over my diet. So the devil's wreaking havoc in that area, you know? He's like, yeah, they like that. This is easy. And just devouring us left and right, just like that little Pac-Man. See, the devil wants us to be carnally minded. He wants us to mind the flesh because he knows that that state will cause our ultimate destruction, which is death. And not just physical death, spiritual death. All right? So if you don't want to be devoured, then you need to make sure that you have some self-control, that you're being led by the Spirit. And the way you're led by the Spirit is by listening to that voice of wisdom. It's a small, still voice. And if you're a Christian, you know, when you're about to do something, you know. You do. You know, you do. You know. You know, something on the inside says, don't do that. You know? And even when you're reading the Word of God, I mean, the purpose of us reading it is not just to read it to say, yep, put another little check mark. I read through the Bible for the third time. But see, if this isn't getting on the inside of you and making a difference, then it's not doing any good. Getting this on the inside of you will help you stay on the right track. It'll help you stay on the right track. You're storing up this truth on the inside, and then the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance those things that you have been taught. All right? Those scriptures will start rising up when you're in those circumstances, when you're in those situations, and wisdom will be able to speak. All right? Turn to Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17. Another thing that we need to do is we need to be firm in the faith against his onset. Be firm in the faith against his onset. Our faith must be like a solid wall. A wall that is solid. That means that you're not able to penetrate it. We're talking about like those solid, you know, some of those steel walls can be so solid that you can't get through it. All right? So that's how our faith needs to be. Like a solid wall against which the attacks of the devil, his attacks just exhaust him. It's in vain. He can't get through. He can't penetrate through it because your faith is so strong. Well, how do you get that type of strong faith? Well, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so important when you decide what church you're going to go to, that you go to a church that's preaching the word. You don't want to go to a church that just makes you feel good. You know, most of us have not reached the point that when we're hearing a corrective message, we're saying, oh, this is so good. Oh, I just love this all the time. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it gets, you know, it's like, oh, man, you know, that's right. That's something that I need to correct. But a lot of people, they don't like to hear that. because that means I got to change what I'm doing. I got to do something different. But how many of you know that you won't grow if you don't get those things that you need in order to grow? You know, it's just like kids. If you keep feeding them junk food, they're not going to grow up to be strong. They're not going to grow up to be healthy. So it is with us spiritually. There's certain things that we need in our diet. And how many of you know, just like in the natural, some of the food may not taste real good, but it's good for you. At first, it may not taste real good. You're like, oh. But you know that, hey, if I get a hold of this, because see, it's the flesh that doesn't want it. The spirit is hungry. It's like, ooh, this is good. This is good. We're going to get that flesh woman in line. But the flesh knows that this means I'm going to have to change some of the things that I've been doing. I cannot continue to do it my way. All right? So in order to grow strong in faith, you got to get the word. All right? In order to build that solid wall, you need the word of God. You need to hear what the word of God says. You need to hide it on the inside of you. And the way you hide it on the inside of you is by meditating on the word, thinking about it, dwelling. What is this scripture saying? How can I apply this to my life? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you feel like the walls of your life, that it just seems like everything's caving in, then what that is telling you is that you need more of this on the inside of you. You're not dwelling on what this word says. You're dwelling on the circumstances. You're dwelling on the situations. So we need to meditate on what God's word said. And then as we do that, our faith will grow strong and we'll have that solid wall that when the devil tries to attack us, tries to come against us, tries to wreak havoc in our life, he won't be able to get through because there's that solid wall of faith and he can't penetrate through it. We need to be firm. You can't be moved by the circumstances. And how many of you know that when you get your mind off of what God's word says and start dwelling upon the circumstance, it's easy to be moved. Amen. You don't have joy when you start thinking about the circumstance, especially if things aren't going the way you would like them to go. That's one way in which Satan robs us of joy, robs us of peace. By getting our mind off of what God's word has to say and focusing on the situation. Painting this dark and gloomy picture that things aren't going to change. You've been doing this faith stuff for a while and still things have not changed. You got to be firm. You can't be moved by the circumstances. You have to have the attitude that you are not going to give up. That God's word is true. And that he is faithful and just. And that his word will not return unto him void. His word will not return unto him void. So no matter what happens, no matter what the devil does, no matter what setback he puts in your life, you have to have the attitude that I'm not going to be moved. You got to realize that his setbacks, they're just setups for a comeback. He does something, you take those little stumbling blocks that he places in your life, and instead of stumbling, you use them as stepping stones. Amen? You use them as stepping stones. And you have the attitude that, hey, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to stumble. He's not going to pull me down. I'm going to keep stepping. Amen? No matter what, I'm going to keep stepping. Keep stepping. Keep stepping. So you can't give up. You can't give up. And when you feel as though you've done all you can do, then you need to do what it says in Ephesians 6. Turn to that. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. I tell you, you can't give up. And see, that's what the devil wants. He's going to continue to turn the heat up until he can get you to budge. Until he can get you to budge. He wants to pull you down. He wants to pull you down. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And I'm going to read it once again from the Amplified. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. How many of you know in order to stand, you know, especially when times get tough, you need some strength? Because just standing can just zap all the energy out. You know what I'm saying? You can just feel so drained. But see, when you are united with Him and you draw your strength from Him, you'll have that strength that you need so you can stand. You won't be weary. You won't be worn out. Okay? Because you're drawing your strength from Him, not from you. He may be able to zap all your strength, but He can't zap all the strength from the Almighty. Because He's almighty. He's full of might. He's all powerful. So He can zap it out of you. I mean, that's important. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your own strength. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. So in order to not be devoured, you have to have a union with Him. Because that's where you're going to get your strength. All right? Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies. Notice He supplies that armor. It's His way, not our way. His equipment, His tools, not ours, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, and that's where some of us mess up. We think it's the boss. They're just out to get me. We think it's, you know, Sister Sally Sue. Well, she's just out to get me. If you're married, sometimes you think, well, it's just my husband. He's out to get me. All right? For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with the physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place, stand. When you feel like you've done all that you can do, here the Bible says you need to just stand. Just stand. All right? In 1 Chronicles 16:27, and I'm just going to read that to you, it says that glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. You draw your strength from Him, from having that union with Him. Proverbs 8:14 says that counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. All right? We give the devil place to wreak havoc in our life when we do not hearken and listen and obey the voice of wisdom. The voice of wisdom. If you are going to stand, you got to do both. All right? There is an umbrella of protection. Just like a natural umbrella, if you hold it up and if it's raining, it will keep you dry. In Psalms 91:1, it talks about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and that the individual that does that shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But in order to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you got to be dwelling in that secret place. All right? Just like the man, if he's out in the rain, he could have an umbrella in his hand, and he will still get wet if he's not under that umbrella. So it is with us. All right? We've got to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's our protection. There's a devil that is out there, and he is seeking whom he can devour. But if we follow what God's word has to say, we will not be devoured. All right? We got to be vigilant. We got to be cautious. We got to tap into the wisdom of God. We have to follow after wisdom if we're going to be safe. All right? We've got to be well balanced. We've got to be temperate. We've got to have control. We got to control ourselves. We can't just do things what we want to do. We have to have self-control and be led by the Spirit. And we need to be firm in the faith against his onset. That means as soon as he does something, we got to go ahead and start acting and do what God's word says. God's word says this, do it. Don't wait. Do it right then and there. As soon as wisdom speaks, you act. And I tell you, if we follow what God's word says, we won't be devoured. We'll walk in victory. Amen? Amen. And how many of you know that that's what God wants us to do? Yes. He wants us to be the victors. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. He wants us to be above and not beneath. But the only way that will happen is if we hearken, if we listen and obey what wisdom says. Amen? Amen? I tell you, God's word is good. His word is good and he cares about you. But he can't help us if we don't do what he says. He can't help us if we don't do what he says. Let's bow our head and close in prayer. Father God, we thank you, dear God, for these words of wisdom that you have given us, dear God. We thank you so much for wisdom, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord, that you have made wisdom available to us, Father. And we open up our hearts, dear God, and we stand at the gates expecting wisdom to speak to us daily, every moment. We know, dear God, that we need you. We need the voice of wisdom to order our footsteps, to direct our feet so that we'll know where to go, where not to go, what to say, what to do, what not to do, Father God. And we thank you, dear God, that you speak to our heart. We thank you, dear God, that you order our footsteps. We thank you, dear God, for these words of life in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.